Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 53 foretold God's Messiah would come as a suffering servant, that he would be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment for our peace would be upon him. David prophesied his death would be by crucifixion, and in Psalm 22, it graphically described how he would suffer. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax, it has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. A band of evil men have encircled me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. The angel of the Lord told Joseph who this unique man from God was going to be. You are to give him the name Jesus. But also his mission was made clear. He will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, that the virgin would be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Luke tells us, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And there the devout Simeon took the boy in his arms and, praising God, said, my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. And the prophetess Anna, coming up to them at that very moment, gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And Jesus grew in favor of God and men and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled that what he has spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And they sent priests and Levites to him, asking, who are you? And knowing what was in their question, he replied, I am not the Christ. I am the voice of the one calling in the desert, preparing the way for the Lord. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus, to fulfill all righteousness, entered the water and was baptized. And heaven opening, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and a voice declared, this is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after 40 days and nights, the temptation, which proved too much for Adam and Eve to doubt God's word and follow the will of Satan, with all of its tragic consequences of sin and the reign of death over the human race, that very same temptation was offered to the new Adam, Jesus of Nazareth. But no matter his hunger, he would not turn stones into bread. He would not come into the world as the great humanitarian social worker satisfying material and physical need. Well then, said Satan, the adoration and worship of the world is his if only he would become a religious superstar and head up a world religion. And Jesus said, no. In that case, replied Satan, I can give it to you without suffering. It's all yours. All you have to do is bow the knee and worship me. But thanks be to God, the new Adam was the sinless and perfect Son of God. And facing up to his temptator, he said, Away from me, Satan. Worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And in the synagogue at Nazareth, he proclaimed, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he surprised and amazed everyone by proclaiming, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. News about him quickly spread over the whole region. And crowds came to be healed and to hear him preach. And the people were amazed and filled with awe. They gave praise to God. We have never heard such remarkable things. 3 wonder-filled years were now coming to an end. Years of signs and wonders and miracles. Years of tears and of joy. Of continual hostility and suspicion by the religious establishment, yet of a growing sense of realization of who he was, memorably given voice by Peter, who, speaking for the disciples, said to Jesus when the teaching was at its toughest and many were deserting him, We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. His disciples were astonished, while those who followed him were afraid. And he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen. We are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests. They will condemn him and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. But they did not understand. It was hidden from them, and they were afraid to ask him about it. And now, the triumphal entry behind him, God's glorious plan of redemption was about to be revealed. He had stated who he was and what he offered. He was the bread of life, and those who came to him will never be hungry. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, he promised that those who believed on him would never be thirsty. He said, Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. He called himself the light of the world and said that whoever followed him would have the light of life and never walk in darkness. He said that he was the resurrection and the life and promised that all who believed in him would never die and that the only way to the Father was through him as the way, the truth, and the life. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And in anticipation of the event about to occur, and for the generations of believers in years to come, Jesus symbolized his life and death in the bread and the wine, the Lord's Supper. This is my body given for you. This is a new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink of it, remember me. When he had finished praying, they sung a hymn, and Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side was an olive grove called Gethsemane, and he and the disciples went into it. Sit here while I go and pray. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. O Lord, the God who saves me, I cry out before you, turn your ear to my cry. for my soul is full of troubles and my life draw near to the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. Father, I was with you when you set the heavens in place and when you marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. Remember when you established the clouds above and fixed the fountains of the deep. Then I was a craftsman at your side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in your presence. But now I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. Oh, Father, if you be willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And now, the inevitable and irresistible sequence of events began to remorselessly unfold. Satan, sensing his long-awaited victory, marshaled his forces for the final assault on the Prince of Peace and appealed to the heart and mind of sinful human beings. Judas, what's in this for you? He's a loser, Judas. Move over to the winning side. Make friends with influential people. You've done enough. You've got to look after number one. Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it into the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. "What you are about to do, do quickly," Jesus told him. A short time later, at the head of a band of soldiers going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. And they took Jesus to the high priest, and the chief priests and elders and teachers of the law came together. Caiaphas, as high priest, you're a leader, an important man. You know the trouble this upstart Jesus will cause to the system. Isn't it better that one man die? After all, the end justifies the means. Have him killed. The high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we need any more witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as worthy of death. Herod, this carpenter from Nazareth, calls himself a king. He would challenge you, Herod. Who does he think he is? Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. Ah, Pilate, a true man of the world. Self-preservation is the name of your game. Watch him, Pilate. You'll find no crimes that he's guilty of, but what's that got to do with anything? He's dangerous, Pilate. It's your career at stake, your future on the line. Why risk it? After all, he's just another Jew. With loud shouts, they insisted that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed, so Pilate decided to grant their demand. The soldiers led Jesus away. They put a purple robe on him, twisted together a crown of thorns, and calling out, "Hail, King of the Jews," they struck him and spat upon him. And falling to their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to be crucified. When they came to the place called Golgotha, there they crucified him along with criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And as he hung alone on the cross, hell came to Calvary. Darkness came over the whole land, for the sun stopped shining. "Eli, Eli, sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As Jesus fulfill the ancient covenant between man and God instituted at Mount Sinai, the temple curtain was torn in two and Judaism was made forever obsolete. Having disarmed the power and authorities, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And the written code, with its regulations against us and opposed to us, was cancelled. He took it away and he nailed it to the cross. And the law satisfied, justice and mercy kissed, and the new covenant to be written in the hearts of men and women was unveiled and established. Then, having accomplished the work his Father had sent him to do, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The price was paid, and Satan knew he was beaten. Sin was defeated, and death lost its sting. It is finished. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen.